As some South Africans choose to physically migrate from the country, the phenomenon of financial emigration is also growing. So what is financial emigration and what are its implications? Well, to tell us more, I'm joined on the line by Janet Hugo. She's a director and chartered financial planner at Sterling Private Clients. Janet, why are people more and more increasingly financially emigrating?
A lot of that has been brought to its head because South African Revenue Services want to start taxing people who emotionally live in South Africa, but are actually earning overseas and not paying tax. For example, people who do expat work and work in Dubai, but plan to retire and live back here in South Africa. And although it seems unfair that SARS is wanting to tax them, we have to think about it as tax-paying citizens. And we're paying the bill for them to receive the benefits of Eskom being able to turn the lights on and our roads being paved and not full of potholes.
Mm.
So it does have, at the face of it, it feels unfair, but actually, if you want the benefits of the country, then pay the taxes of the country.
Yeah, fair enough. So what does it mean to actually emigrate financially?
So immigration financially would mean that you let SARS know and you let the Reserve Bank know that I am no longer going to be tax resident in South Africa. And to do that, it takes a lot. There's a lot of paperwork involved, but the system is globally that you need to be a tax resident somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't float around and be non-tax resident but enjoy the benefits of the countries that you're living in. And to do that in South Africa, you would wind up your affairs and settle all your bills with SARS, which would include the capital gains tax event. And if you have pension funds or retirement annuities, you would withdraw from them and pay the tax that you've received the benefit of not paying in the past.
Mm.
There's a lot of paperwork involved, and it can be a knee-jerk reaction, and I think that people need to go into it very carefully and take tax advice both leaving South Africa and, I want to say it like this, landing in the new country.
Yes.
You know, wherever they're going to land up, they're going to become now a new tax resident person.
What are the implications around transferring pension funds overseas?
So we can't transfer pension funds overseas. You have to withdraw from your retirement fund in South Africa, whether it's a provident fund or retirement annuity or your retirement fund, pension fund. And when you withdraw it, it's subject to the benefits and the taxation that happens according to tables. So that's on retirement funds, and that's pre an event of retirement, where you would then have moved some of your money into either a living annuity or a guaranteed annuity. Now, those can't be touched unless the amount is below, I think it's 70,000 in the total kitty. And those would have to stay here, but you're not limited from taking the money out as you receive it to your new country. Let's say you've chosen to go and live on the Isle of Wight, for example.
Yes.
So you are allowed to take the money with you. There's no stopping it. It's not like the old days where there were blocked rands that people got very emotional about. There's a lot more free flow of money these days.
Mm. So if you choose to emigrate financially and obviously move as well, to the new place where you're living, what are the implications around your South African citizenship?
So financial immigration and tax immigration is not the same as your South African citizenship. You're not giving up your citizenship. What you're giving up is your tax status in South Africa.
Mm.
And it's an expensive thing because, you know, in the old days you used to have retirement funds that had penalties for withdrawing from them. So that mere effort of buying and selling and transferring money overseas is an expensive one, and we should be very sure that you really want to do this and continue living in the country overseas before you actually do this financial emigration. There are so many people I've heard of returning to South Africa because they can't cope with the weather or they don't actually land that dream job. And let's face it, South Africa is a wonderful country.
It is, absolutely. If you plan to live overseas in the future, when should you begin to start transferring some of your assets offshore?
So whether you plan to live overseas or not, you should actually have a healthy chunk of your money overseas. And there's a lot of portfolio managers who will recommend that you have about 50 to 60% of your portfolio in overseas investments. And that's because South Africa makes up a very small portion of the world economy. And the more instruments you have in your orchestra able to give you an investment return, the better the orchestra sounds. So, you know, the ability to have money invested in China as well as America and as well as Europe makes a very big investment portfolio that's able to withstand a whole lot more volatility than just a South African one, which is just going to plod along giving you the same type of investments. So I would recommend that people have a really decent chunk of their portfolios overseas, and most people already have, without even knowing about it, 30% of their portfolio invested offshore if they've got retirement funds, because that's the limitation there. So you can start moving and aiming to have a well-diversified portfolio that includes a big chunk overseas.
Right.
And that would stand you well.
Yes. Say you've left the country, you financially, formally emigrated, you've communicated with SARS and the Reserve Bank and all of that, but you still have a number of properties that are generating you income. You know, maybe you've got relatives here and you still want people to benefit from some of the assets here, or you're benefiting from them yourself. What are the tax implications there?
So if you're receiving a rental income and you've already financially emigrated, let's say, to Australia, you would be paying the Australian government tax on your rental income. But when you leave South Africa and now you've financially emigrated, you would be paying your capital gains tax. So if you sold the property, there would be a withholding capital gains tax on your investment properties in South Africa. And it's the properties, physical properties, whether they're commercial or residential, that are the only thing that is left out of the financial immigration tax net for capital gains tax when you leave. That's the last thing that's left hanging.
And then the issue of, say, for example, you do go and live offshore, but you've still got some investments in stocks and bonds here in South Africa. What are the implications there?
Well, there are withholding taxes on your dividends in South Africa, but those are netted off against the taxes that you should be paying in your new tax resident country.
Hmm.
So we have, I've just gone blank on what they're called. We've got agreements between countries to pay tax to one another, and there's also common monetary reporting standards where every country in the world is now signing up and reporting on the tax status of the investments and the citizens in the country.
Hmm. And if you want to try and dodge taxes in this process, I mean, from what you're saying, it's not very wise because, like you say, authorities are beginning to talk to each other.
The Common Monetary Reporting Standards came in March last year, and it's been rolling out, and countries and investment companies have become stricter and stricter on making sure that they're able to report to the country of origin the tax status of your particular investment. And as financial advisors, we're noticing how the tax authorities are reaching in and saying, that's my piece of the pie. You can have yours, but I want mine. The Americans started it with their FATCA regulations, and anybody who'd been born in America was now taxed on their worldwide investments, whether they knew they were tax liable or not.
Hmm.
And that started to shake up other countries around the world saying, hey, you know, if the Americans can do it, so can we.
Yeah.
And that's the new regulations that are rolling out worldwide.
And lastly, Janet, say you have left the country, but again, that scenario I painted, you have a couple of properties, there is some income being generated here in South Africa at your original home. What's the advice around writing wills? Can you write a will in Switzerland where you've moved to that will cover that jurisdiction in South Africa, or do you need wills for each jurisdiction?
You know, that's an interesting one. So the legislation says that actually you don't need a will for each jurisdiction, that your will can stand. But in our experience. The problem is that when you wind up estates or have to go into probate in each of those countries, each one of those regulators are looking for an original will, and they're not going to be able to wind up your estate without the original piece of paper. So you're having the master's office in Cape Town needing an original document, but the Swiss regulators are saying, no, we're hanging on to that original document. So I would recommend that wherever you have assets, you do a will for that country that is regulated there.
That was Janet Hugo. She's a director and chartered financial planner at Sterling Private Clients.